You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, there's a quote from the movie Fight Club that goes a little bit like this. Tyler Durden addressing the eponymous Fight Club, and he says, "You're not your job. You're not how much money you have in the bank. You're not the car you drive. You're not the contents of your wallet. And you're not your effing fantasy Premier League team." We are the all-singing, all-dancing FPL managers of the world. After a weekend like that, I feel like it's important to stress, however you may be feeling coming out of game week 34, because there's a lot going on, please understand you are not your FPL team. You're something bigger than that. And I'm feeling a little shaky about my game week score, which we can talk a little bit more, but I do want to just stress, if this is your first time at FPL Club, you have to podcast.
Yeah, and sometimes 24 hours later, unfortunately. That was the situation we found ourselves in yesterday. It was around 7 p.m. Eastern time, and as listeners of the podcast know, this podcast always comes out Monday morning. That is like the rule of this podcast. I don't care what match is being played on Monday. I don't care if it's, you know, a title decider. Like, the Always Cheating Podcast recorded on Sunday and comes out on Monday. And I couldn't do it this time. It was the ambiguity of whether they were going to play the Liverpool-Man United match on Monday or not, whether it was going to fall into Game Week 35. It made it impossible to do the podcast. There was just no way we could have done it because it everything sort of depended on whether that match is even played. And at that point, it was undecided. And so we decided to hold off. And it's just a very, you know, weird game week. And I suppose it was probably a relief that that a vast majority of fantasy managers were not on social media this weekend, because the meltdowns would have been really, you know, like off the chain, Brandon, as the kids say. It would have been crazy, right? Because most of us, I had four players in that Liverpool Man United match. I was also planning to meet up, Brandon, with our friend producer Trevor. Mm-hmm. I had this whole day set, and so it was not fun. It arguably helped my team, and we can get to that in a minute as well, but It was not fun. It was not cool. And it was annoying to have to wait around to see what was going to happen with this match. Now, this is not to get into the substance of the protests, which I largely agree with. I mean, right. You know, sure. I don't like the Blazers, you know, I'm fine with them doing that. It was just from a, you know, there was a, our friend Andrew Sigel, who's one of our Patreon supporters, said the Super League set out to kill the Champions League, but the only thing it killed was this FPL season. And I sort of feel like that's kind of like it. I feel like, you know, I don't want to come into this podcast being super down, right? Like, I don't want to go on like an extended rant about all that stuff. Like, what's the point? We're all too exhausted after the last year. I also don't want to be falsely optimistic. Like, that doesn't feel like the right tone either. So this is a neutral presentation of what just happened. But most importantly, trying to like move past it and think about game week 35, which now, you know, is annoying as it was that match got canceled, it actually makes for an extremely exciting game week 35, and it makes game week 36 better as well. So if you can take your lumps with your, you know, scores in the 20s or whatever in game week 34, then there's at the very least some opportunities to claw some of those points back in 35 and 36. And some of our really tricky decisions have been sort of eased, right? And so, what are you, so you're up in your new, up in Mount Kelly up there in upstate New York. And, what did you think as all this was unfolding?
I was trying to get breakfast at a diner with my wife when we were making like one of 100 drives to Home Depot. And Lila was just like, can you put your phone down for a moment? And I was trying to, I had seen some drips and drabs over Twitter about some protest that was happening at Old Trafford, and it didn't even really occur to me that they might actually be there to try and postpone this United-Liverpool match. So when it actually hit that this game could be postponed, it was actually quite shocking. And then, of course, I'm scouring Twitter and BBC, and Twitter, social media was largely in a blackout this weekend for Fight Against Racism, which I'm all for. So I was also going to places like BBC and The Guardian to try and figure out what was going on, but it was all largely, they think that the match is going to be postponed. And I'm just like, well, what is actually going on? People are making these allusions to the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. And after having a day or so to process this, I'm like, well, oh, okay. So if you want to liken what happened at Old Trafford to what happened in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, it would be like the Manchester United supporters going into Old Trafford and demanding that Stan Kroenke be put in charge of Manchester United. So I think that's a bit disingenuous.
Yeah, I had a moment just at first where it was just, you know, watching people break into a sacred ground and goof around and take photos while they kind of just like ignore the police did bring back like a certain kind of like January 6th vibe. But I on reflection, I think you're right. And honestly, especially after 24 hours and talking to some of our friends about it, and it just sounds like it was honestly pretty peaceful, all things considered. Mm-hmm. And a match got postponed, like, so what? You know, it's sort of, it doesn't really, I mean, it's annoying, very annoying from a fantasy perspective.
But that's the whole point. You could say, I mean, reflecting on the social media blackout this weekend, a lot of people are arguing, like, what was the point in that? What difference are you actually making? And there's such a rush to judge how people protest. And I'm sorry if a cameraman's tripod got broken. I'm sorry if a window got broken. I'm sorry if a Target got looted in the search for actual justice. There are revolutions happening in the micro around the world. And I think that there are all these measures of, well, you could log off Twitter for the weekend, but maybe you're not actually willing to do something more meaningful than that. You can go to a stadium and hold up a sign. Right. What are you actually willing to do? So the fact that they were able to actually take broadcasting money out of somebody's pockets by getting this match postponed is interesting. The question is long term, as far as, you know, what it takes to get these billionaires out of what we love about the Premier League or club football is, do any of these people actually have the nerve to give up their season ticket? Could you actually empty the stadium during a match in which you could have a full stadium? That will be the true test. So I think it's an interesting news point. What happened on Sunday, as far as the FPL implications, it was just a massive disaster for so many teams. I'm looking at my team, and yeah, I missed Bruno, Salah, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and coming off the bench, I had Matt Target with 2 points, Gundogan was zero, and Kilman, old man Kilman from Wolves, he had a blast from the past yeah. earlier in the season. He did get never have you been so excited to see a defensive 1 point cameo. And that brings my game week total up to 27 points. I continue to sort of there's a Twitter account out there called FPL Murphy's Law, and I do identify with them so much because the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks has been an exercise for me in what can go wrong, will go wrong. We had a locker room chat live with some of our followers on Friday. And, you know, you and I were talking about what I was saying on last week's podcast about, listen, if I'm trying to even have fun, why did I wildcard into certain template players? So then I moved to Captain Jamie Vardy. I bring in James Maddison in place of Jota. And that was just, a damp squib. Nothing is really going right apart from my continued love and obsession with Ollie Watkins. And can I say for the millionth time on this podcast that Ollie Watkins has found his level? Here is the promise of Che Adams brought to life in the light of day. Bless you, Ollie Watkins. So 27 points. Can you beat that, Joshua?
Yeah, I mean, 13 goals and 8 assists for Ollie Watkins. I have to give him credit, Brandon. I mean, 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 5 now as well. Yeah, I can beat, was it 28? Is that what it was?
27. 27.
I ended up with 27. I finished on 45 points, which, I probably got about as lucky as anybody, honestly. I mean, I really feel that way. I mean, it's sort of, I feel like that person who, I mean, it's not like it's like my first ever good season, but I feel like that person who like got in, you know, deep into a poker tournament. And it's like, you're just like, you know, you're sucking out on a three outer on the river or something like that. You know, I'm just sort of, I got kind of a lot of things wrong this week. And I benched Watkins for Jota, for example. And now, granted, we don't know. I mean, you know, maybe Jota would have outscored Watkins if that match were played, but probably not, right?
Doubtful.
And, you know, with the Watkins, doubtful. Yeah. And I went Dallas over Dan Byrne. Seemed like a reasonable move to me. But Byrne ends up coming off the bench. Like, I got 14 points from my bench. I ended up with 45 points. And I'm up to my highest rank in the season. Looks like I'll finish at about 4.4K overall. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I suppose I had just wildcarded, so my bench was a little stronger than usual. And so I guess I was, you know, there's a little bit of planning that I can give myself a tiny dash of credit for. But in general, it's just a case of being extremely fortunate, extremely lucky. And there's really, you know, but fantasy is a gambling game, and that there's an element of skill, but especially this season, there's a lot of luck involved as well. And there's no point in denying that luck is a factor. Mm-hmm. Right. So, mm-hmm. We're talking about 38 weeks here. Right. I mean, so it's, I feel like, you know, things tend to even out a little bit, except maybe in your case, actually, where you've been sort of phenomenally unlucky, Brandon. But I think in general,
whatever. It's if you really take the how many thousands of feet do we want to go up to get that top down view, I'll probably finish the season inside the top 300K. I feel like I've managed my team to get to that point. I don't feel like I've made any decisions that I feel like I deserve to be in any sort of extravagant rank. So it is what it is. It just kind of sucks when you're trying to seek out, as been our mission this season, seek out the fun in fantasy. And
more often than not, your fun decisions are greeted with limp. I don't even know how to describe it. My fun is not being fought with fun. I'll tell you that much. So that's really the bigger issue. I can't complain. I feel like Wolverhampton right now, where Wolverhampton have played a season where it's one of the more immemorable mid-table seasons I can remember, especially a club. And I'm likening myself to Wolves because I fancy myself to be an exciting person. Also, spiritually Portuguese for some reason, I don't know. But at the end of the day, Wolves deserve to finish where they finish. I would never say I deserved a better rank than I currently have, but we're just still seeking out the fun.
I don't want to come out. I mean, I don't want to be overly down here, right? We're not it's anyone can just walk away, and I suspect some people probably have on this season, and I think that makes a fair amount of sense. And if you're listening to this podcast, then you haven't, or you just like to hear me and you argue with each other, Brandon. Either way,
mm-hmm.
either way you're listening, either way you're punching that download code. punch that download button,
sure.
Punch that streaming button. You don't even have to download podcasts anymore. You just stream it, right? I don't know. They just pop up on my phone now. Anyway. I think if I were to try to find an optimistic, hook here, it would be that, as crazy as the season has been, as much as I'm kind of honestly ready for this season to be over, I'm certainly ready for fans to be back in the stadium. We're only 2 weeks away from that. So that's a kind of a minor thing that I'm sort of looking forward to. And I feel like the one thing I will say is I am still excited for next season, right? As long as, as bad and as rough as this has been, everything starts over in August, clean slate, we all go back to zero. And to go with your Fight Club analogy even further, Brandon, all right?
Go on.
You destroy all of the credit card companies. Never really made any sense, right? Because even in 1999, those were electronic records, right? It wasn't,
It wasn't all paper in a filing cabinet.
Yeah, did Fight Club secretly take place in 1947 and we just didn't realize it?
God damn you, dirty apes!
So I'm still excited for next season. I think this one is a little weird, but whatever, it's a game. Like, there's no point in talking about is there an asterisk on this season or whatever, because it's all just this is not important. It can be frustrating because we invest in it, and that frustration is real. Whether you want to feel frustrated by a fantasy game or not is something that you can talk about with your wife, or and they can tell you how much you should not be.
Sure.
And that's, or you and I can talk before the podcast and get the real rants out of our system before we come on here.
Yeah.
But it's just a weird season, and I'm having a great season. I mean, I really am. And I'm still fried. I'm just let's it's clap my hands together. Let's wrap this thing up. Yeah. All right, let's go. Come on.
Well, they talk about
it's going to end in a blur, right?
It will. And they do talk about this a lot in news circles about how some of the flurry of activity actually happens after the season is done, when we can move into prognosticating transfers, moves, theorizing about which teams are going to be ready for next season. And I totally agree mm-hmm. with you, Josh. Part of the positioning of fun for a lot of us right now, it's not we've been beating the drum of seeking fun and enjoyment out of fantasy this season. And I think we're at the point where it might be okay to accept that maybe managing your team for the run-in isn't going to be as fun as we want to lead you to believe. But I need you listening right now to understand that the fun awaits you after the game week 38 closure, because that's when we get that clean slate, and that's when we are reborn. Yeah. And that rebirth of fantasy managers, I totally agree. It's kind of what we live with. Or live with. Yeah, we live with it, but we also live for it. And there will definitely be a rebirth in the coming season.
It's just so strange. I mean, this is the second podcast in 3 weeks now where we've kind of like gone totally away from fantasy for a minute, because it just, you know, it's just a weird, it's, you know, I mean, it feels like it's all coming to an end a little bit. Some of the worst of it all, right? Things are coming back. Rates are down. Like, the world has opened up again. You and I are both vaccinated. Like, there's like, you know, steps are being you know, made. So yeah, exactly. Like, we just gotta ride it out. You know, like, what are you gonna stop watching these matches completely? Like, of course not. You know, and so it's, you know, if you can find a way to mentally do what Brandon is doing, which is just mentally kind of check out a little bit, you know, you're still gonna watch the match, you're still gonna follow everything that's happening, still gonna, you know, make all your transfers. I think that might be the most effective strategy, because I mean honestly, a few weeks ago you were so angry, and it feels like you've kind of moved past. Well, I'm not sure how much of that came through in the pod, right? But I just I know how angry you were. You were just so frustrated, you know, and it was just like, and then of course, like, you're an adult, like, you know, it's like you don't want to, like, you, like, the frustration is compounded by the fact that you know you shouldn't be this mad, right? You know,
yeah, it's like 100%.
You're frustrated. It's not like you're frustrated because, like, you didn't get a promotion at work or something. You're frustrated. Yeah. And then you're like, God, this is so dumb that I'm even frustrated about a fantasy game.
Yeah, I keep coming back again and again this season to that serenity prayer of, God, grant me the strength to accept the things that I cannot change and to change the things that I can. And fantasy is... Each week, it's a journey to say, well, what went against me, I have to accept the bad decisions that I made to get me here. I also have to accept that I got here in part by bad fortune. And it's a combination of the two. And you could have a good season, Josh, where I think that you're learning a lot of things in this good season where you're making good decisions. You're getting a good degree of luck in tandem, and you're learning of how that works. I'm also learning how bad decisions coupled with bad luck can impact the trajectory of my season. So, you know, you can complain, you can get angry, but what I love about the fact that we podcast every week, that we do really dial into the fantasy game, is that we're not just here to be casual people in your work mini league. We're here to just explore this fantasy game. Why is it good? Why is it bad? And we will continue to plumb the depths. It's like we're Mulder and Scully, Josh. The truth is out there. We haven't found it just yet. I think the only way in which you could say either of the cheaters have found the truth, if we would truly believe, it would be if we actually discovered alien life. And and the metaphor there would be if either of us finishes in first place overall in the world in fantasy. At that point, that's like shaking hands with an alien in the X-Files world. So until that moment, we will have to continue to podcast.
Let's hold out some hope. All right. So let's, I hope that was therapeutic for some people. A rant had to be done. Okay. We had to get some of that out of our system. Always Cheating Super League. We recorded a day late. We don't often get a chance to do an updated Always Cheating Super League on this podcast. So there's been so many Monday matches this season. So I'm going to quickly read off the top 10 in the Always Cheating Super League. Congrats to everybody who's in that league. There's more than 15,000 managers in there, right, Brandon? So anyone who cracks the top.
More than 20, actually.
10 of this is it more than 20,000 managers?
Yeah.
Ahmed Badir, Alex Oakley, Max Fideli. Now I'm reading this from 10 to first, by the way. Max Fideli, Ewan Miller, Abdul Husin, Jan Kepski, Victor Sandberg, and then the top three is Matt Carvel, Cancelo Cultura, a fixture, Brandon, in the top of the Austrian Super League. Dynamo Budapest, Zoltan Vago, also a fixture, and FC Intergalactic, Vigard Knutsen. And I believe some of those managers are in the top 100 in the world. So very, very impressive. Quick shout out to our Patreon supporters as well. We picked up a number of new Patreon supporters this week, Brandon. I don't know if it was my heartfelt plea that new Patreon supporters really cheer us up. Or what it was exactly, but you get down to the end of the season, the Patreon support starts to...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Turning a little bit of a faucet drip. So it was really nice to get a nice little burst of new Patreon support this week. So a sincere thank you to, of course, everyone who supports the podcast, but especially to Ebby Elsberg and Arani Basu, our new Volkswagen patrons, and Isabel Pike Cook and Jack McGuire, who are our newest Lord Sorwath patrons. Thank you to all four of you. I really appreciate it. And anyone who wants to support the podcast can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to do so. They get an extra podcast each week. They get the Week in Review newsletter, courtesy of our friends at Mini League Mate. They get the Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt. They also get discounts on merch in the Always Cheating shop. And they get to talk on Slack with all of our buddies and get made fun of. And our friend Ryan Dagger saw an image of one of the protesters who he said, look, just like me in the crowd. I wasn't sure that was flattering or not. But that's the kind of stuff that you get on the Always Cheating Slack. So
we need a whole
patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go.
We need a whole channel devoted to slagging off Josh and Brandon. I think that that's good. That's, you know, we get our therapy each week putting the show together, and our patrons deserve their own therapy by just tarring and feathering us on the Slack every day.
All right, let's take a break. We'll talk about Double Game Week 35.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe your fantasy team is distracting you from other important parts of your life. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, expertise that may not be locally available in many areas, and BetterHelp is worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/cheating. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join the more than 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And here's a special offer for Always Cheating listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cheating.
All right, we're back. Game week 35 kicks off on Friday. Another Friday Leicester match. What, I guess it's two in a row, but they played a Monday last week, so they haven't played in a weekend in ages. It feels like
it's like a championship club, basically.
Yeah, just playing a Saturday, guys. Come on. All right, so Leicester take things off this Friday. They host Newcastle, and you know the big news, which we should just get right into, you know, right at the top of the pod is, you know, the question from Seb F. He says, so this we're going to treat Game Week 35 kind of like a mailbag. All right. We got lots of different questions, lots of different ways to look at it and think about it. And so I'm going to start things off with this question from Seb F. He says, although the postponement has been rather disruptive, yes, to say the least, it does seem to have solved the awkward navigation on the doubles and blanks. Do you still think pursuing hit and miss assets like Everton is worth it? Or do we load up on Man United and Liverpool? And Daniel Birdbreaker adds, how do we handle Liverpool assets if they have, as expected, a double game week? So we thought we knew what we were getting in game week 35 and 36. That is no longer what we are almost certainly getting. There's almost no way that things don't get rescheduled, so that what ultimately will end up happening is a West Brom match that was scheduled for next weekend, which would have been game week 36, gets pulled up into midweek next week. So it'll be part of game week 35. And next weekend, that is to say a week from this weekend, the Liverpool Man United match that was canceled will go ahead as originally scheduled. That creates a double in 35 for Liverpool. So they play twice. They play Southampton at home and West Brom away. That suddenly becomes incredibly appealing. And Man United would also get a double. They would play, which they already were scheduled to have. They'll play Aston Villa and Leicester. But what it would mean for them is that they now play in game week 36, whereas previously they weren't going to play. And likewise, Liverpool now has a Man United match in game week 36 as well. So before, we were trying to figure out how to have players for this double game week in 35, but a lot of them weren't going to be playing in 36. And now we're sort of in a position where we have our problems kind of solved for us. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, based on what will almost surely happen with the rescheduled match.
Yeah. My thoughts are, for those who recently wildcarded, it's good. And it doesn't actually really change my thinking in that we brought in Liverpool assets because there was a pretty big upside. They had really good fixtures for the run-in, despite not having a double. We had them. Now that Liverpool have a double, it's sort of like you bought stock and it just split. Good for you. Wise investment. But to go back to the question about, do we then like zero in on Liverpool and Manchester United as opposed to unreliable clubs like Everton? I don't want to totally turn away from Everton at this point, because West Ham and Villa, interesting double. But what you also have to keep in mind is what Everton have in game weeks 36 and 37, guaranteed two home matches to Sheffield United and to Wolverhampton. So I don't think that the rescheduling with Liverpool and Manchester United has not diminished the appeal of these mid-range assets, whether you're talking about Leicester or Everton. Leicester is slightly different because Leicester do blank in game week 36. But my plans looking at my team going into this game week 35 transfer window is I'm looking to burn -4 to get Lucas Digne and Gylfi Sigurdsson in. That's how strongly I feel about, not necessarily I feel like Everton don't seem like a team that's capable of blowing the doors off anytime they step onto the pitch, but I do feel like they're a team that have assets that are capable of delivering consistently over the course of four matches. So you got a double in 35, 36, and 37. So I think over the course of those four matches, Everton players could deal out some damage. They could deliver you points. And that's kind of, for me personally, given that I already have invested in the Manchester United and Liverpool assets that I want.
Right. You've got four players, right? I think you and I had the same four, right? Is it Bruno, Salah, Jota, Trent?
Well, but that was the faux pas that I made going into 34, was that I sold Jota to get in James Maddison. So yeah, it's a classic.
Right.
This is something that was happening to managers midway through the season with COVID cancellations. I remember dumping Grealish and KDB ahead, you know, because they were going to blank and then they had a double or some absolute nonsense like
right,
this.
Right.
So I dropped Jota because of like, well, you know, no double, et cetera, we're moving on. Now Jota does have a double. I kind of wish I had Jota, but at least I would hope that if you did sell Jota or whatever move you made going into 34, odds are now that you probably brought in somebody who has a double in game week 35. So yeah. I wouldn't feel too bad about it, too aggrieved.
Yeah. And I mean, that I wouldn't even call that a faux pas. I mean, that's just a kind of an unlucky situation, clearly. I mean, Madison have had having a double and Jota not, at least so we assumed. I have Jota, Salah, Bruno, and Trent. And my thinking right now is, well, some of it kind of depends on what happens with the Europa League second leg, right? Mm-hmm. Man United play Thursday in that. And they, now that they basically had a rest, I wonder what their lineup is going to look like, because they play in Rome. So they have to take it, you know, fairly seriously.
Well, they're up 6-2, Josh.
Goal cushion. Right. Well, no, exactly. So, that's what I mean. Fairly seriously, but they're up 6-2. So I don't know. I really don't know. Like, they can't just go out there and play like, you know, just like, you know, all the youngsters or whatever. Right. I mean, you have to play like a feel like a real team, but like, I don't know who plays in that one, you know? And so I'm not even sure it matters though now, because I was a little worried about someone getting, you know, a rotation happening eventually, but now that they've effectively had their rotation this weekend, I think you might be safe with kind of anybody. And so I'm really looking at Mason Greenwood as one of the transfers I would make this week. So it would be Greenwood. And then I actually have two transfers going to this weekend. So Greenwood and then probably a defensive transfer. And in that defensive transfer, I'm a little on the fence about that. Could be Lucas Dean. I think you're right. That could be an appealing pick. I would maybe consider Luke Shaw as well. Mm-hmm. The only problem with Shaw is they do play Liverpool in 36, and so that doesn't, you know, isn't quite as appealing maybe. And I think for me, Arsenal, Chelsea, you know, I really would have considered Castagna, but now that there's a chance to bring in somebody who plays twice in 35 and also plays in 36, it really kind of takes away a lot of the appeal to me of having some of those game week, like, you know, having Arsenal, Chelsea or Leicester players, right? It just doesn't feel like it's like as valuable to me, right? Because you just don't have that extra week. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe you're right. I mean, honestly, like, Dean kind of makes sense. West Ham, Aston Villa away. And then they have, yeah, Sheffield Wolves at home. I think Southampton, I think we can just kind of, I mean, credit to them. In some ways I almost feel like the best thing that could have happened to them in that match was having that red card 15 minutes in. Like, I really don't think they were going to win that match. And then once that red card happened, it was like, it was just a siege
yeah,
at that point. And I don't know about you, but I had this kind of,
I feel like there was a moment where they were like, oh no, we cannot let history repeat itself, because Leicester have hammered Southampton and time and time again with these early red cards. And it was, as a Vardy captainer, and I'm sure Iheanacho captainers were feeling the same thing, when that early red card happening, you were just like rubbing your hands together, just gleefully, like, here come the points. And, you know, Hasenhüttl, you know, he only cries on the pitch when it's happy times. And he didn't want to cry on the pitch when it was a sad time. So I'm sure he rallied the troops and said, not today. I guess credit to them. I mean, not credit to Leicester for not putting away the numerous chances that they had.
An extremely unimpressive 2 points dropped. I mean, it was, they probably should have made a substitution like 25 minutes in or something, right? Because clearly, like, the way they had set up was not working. And I guess we don't need to relitigate that match, but there was a moment, because I was kind of with you. I kept Iheanacho this weekend, and I had a moment this weekend where I was like, okay, like, you know, after the red card, I was excited. And then like about 10 minutes in the red card, you're like, oh my God, this is gonna be one of those matches, isn't it? You know, like the red card siege match, you know, mm-hmm. which happens sometimes. Sometimes the red card happens and the team just gives up. But I think that usually happens when it's like the 62nd minute, you know, mm-hmm. and I there's something about like the early one where they're like, it's early enough that they can kind of change their mentality a little bit or something. And so, yeah. And so regardless, I mean, so, you know, Castagna was someone I was seriously considering. And now that just feels a little bit less appealing to me. And I think I'm with you. I think Dean is maybe the way to go there. But I mean, having something like five players between Man United and Liverpool, that seems right to me. And now here's the one spanner I have to throw in here, Brandon.
Go on.
Which is, what if this happens again? Like, what if it happens again? Like, are they going to do another protest? Like, is this, like, are we going to lose another match? Because that would be, like, can we talk to somebody? Like, can we have a Man United supporters group member on the podcast or something to be like, hey, are you guys going to do this twice? Like, should I be captaining Iheanacho instead of Salah this weekend? Because you guys are going to get another match canceled. Like, I mean, I don't really know. Like, I mean, I guess it's possible, right?
It is possible, sure. You would guess, though, that security is going to be insane around Old Trafford for that fixture. So supporters could come with the best of intentions. And it's sort of like I was listening to the new season of Serial this weekend, and they were talking about local elections and how local elections, if they're so close in the primary, they have to go to a runoff. And mm-hmm. the problem with runoff elections, Josh, as I'm sure you know, is that turnout is insanely low because people who came out for the original vote were like, I already voted, and you're not going to get me to go out and cast the same vote twice. So my expectation is if there would be a push for a protest again at Old Trafford, that you get a lower turnout and the police presence is going to be off the charts. So the idea that this game is, and again, as we stated at the start of the podcast, it's not like we don't fully support fans banding together and standing up for their club and all that. But the odds of this happening again in a week's time feel slim to none.
Yeah. So let's say you don't have any Liverpool assets and you were just starting completely fresh. Let's say you're on a wild card or something like that. I think that Salah is a must. I think that Jota now is in that kind of, I like, looks dangerous, gets a lot of shots. If you have him in your team already, I wouldn't burn a transfer to take him out, especially now that you have the double. But I would probably be more inclined to just get Trent and Robertson and just double up defensively.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it kind of makes me cringe a little bit, as I said, not having Jota, but there has not been a millisecond where I've considered trying to get him back. I think for me, the most important asset going into this double, and this is kind of LOL flashback as somebody who triple captained Mo Salah in a double earlier this season, I do still think that Salah, I mean, God, just look at these fixtures, Southampton and West Brom for Liverpool, a team that has all the impetus in the world to push for 6 points in game week 35. And for all the personal accolades that Salah's going for. So a captain on that, to me, is a really interesting question. It's, yes, you need Salah, you want Salah. To me, the interesting question is, who are we captaining? Because you could look at Bruno and Salah and Vardy and Iheanacho, but Mo feels like a real linchpin for 35.
I think so too. I'd be shocked if he wasn't the most captain player. And again, we're operating on the assumption that this is all going to get rescheduled the way that we've talked about it. But this is like, we're sort of in that territory that you get into a lot with these doubles, where when there's only one logical way for things to go, it usually does, you know, pan out that way. And so I think it's safe to operate under that assumption. Like, the site has not been updated yet, but we all sort of think it's going to play out this way. I'm with you. I think that Mo Salah will end up being the most captain player this week. I think that in some ways that does open up some possibilities though too. I think that if you are, I think it would have been more wide open if not for that. I think that Bruno and Vardy and Iheanacho and others might have split the votes, so to speak. And I think now, I think Salah is going to be a really popular captain pick. And I think that if you are, willing to take a little bit of a risk, I think that Bruno now suddenly becomes a good captain pick. I think that Iheanacho definitely, right? I mean, if only for that Newcastle match at home, right, on Friday. It's just hard to imagine him not getting returns in that match, right? So, and then if you were able to get anything away to Man United, then you're looking at, really big game week. So I think that, he's a strong contender. I'm with you. I mean, I just think that Mo Salah is like such a, he's going for the golden boot. They play West Brom and Southampton. They have nothing else to play for this season. They just got rested basically. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean,
when does
Ramadan end, Brandon?
Wow. Talk about putting somebody on the spot. I will, while you're looking that up, Josh, I'm going to put that one, I'm going to throw that one back in your face. I'm just going to say that everything you described about Mo Salah is just fantasy catnip. And Salah has been a bit of a pitfall, a minefield, a trap this season, where sometimes it's really paid off and other times you're just like, wow, why have I bet on this Liverpool team that has been like Arsenal levels of flaky?
Yeah.
But it, like, everything is kind of aligning for a Mo fantasy. And I'm not going to say a Mo haul, because I don't know. I don't know what to expect, but it's all lining up for Mo being a really great play in game week 35.
Yeah, I think so too. By the way, Ramadan ends at sundown on Wednesday, May 12th. Okay, so if that West Brom match gets moved to midweek, Brandon, it would fall, I suspect, on Wednesday, May 12th. So, of course, right? I mean, this is just like, it's perfect. So that is most likely what will end up happening. It's kind of interesting. And their match on Friday is at, or excuse me, on Saturday is the late match. And so they put 8:15, although that is late enough that might actually be after sundown. So he may be able to like have one of those like disgusting gels, you know, those like weird protein gels.
You know, well, you don't like those? I'm popping those all day, Josh. I'm sitting in front of my laptop checking email, just popping those gels.
I should start doing that more often. All right. So, okay. Bruno, as another captain pick, I think that he's another option too, because had a great match, at home to Roma, 2 goals and an assist. Looks like he finally recaptured some of his form. Probably won't play in that second leg. At the very least, I don't think he's going to play a full 90 minutes.
No way.
And we all know that an informed Bruno is a great fantasy asset, a great captain pick. So I think that, you know, if I was 29 points behind first place in one of my many leagues, and I wasn't like trying to hold on to second or hold off somebody else or whatever, but I was just, if I really had a chance to go for it, I think that a Bruno captaincy or an Iheanacho captaincy is hugely appealing, just because I think if you are in first place, then Salah really is the logical, smart captain pick. And I don't know, we just went through this with Kane and Son, and it was sort of like, all right, Kane is the captain, you've got to go with Kane. I'm not even talking about game week 34. I'm talking about whatever it was, game week 32, when they had the double game week, 33, I guess. We kind of went back and forth, and in the end, they ended up scoring equal points, right? Mm-hmm. Because you just never know. You never know if someone's going to get injured or someone's going to just perform better, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, speaking of Son, by the way, there were some questions about what to do with Son. You know, I mean, we can just talk about Spurs in general for a second here. You don't have Son or Kane right now. Now, is that, are you thinking, is that something you want to change? Do you want to change and bring in a Spurs player at some point? Maybe not in 35, but 36, 37, 38.
Oh, yeah. In 36. Yeah. I got the sirens called me into the Leicester striker double up with Vardy and Iheanacho on my wild card with this double in 35. In my mind, and that coupled with the Harry Kane injury at that time of wild carding led me to get rid of him. Not having Son, you know, I think we had talked about this the last couple of weeks, where Kane just felt so much more integral than Son. And of course, Son and Bale go and leave Kane entirely out of the spoils in game week 34. But yes, the plan for me The thing that is paining me right now is I very well might take a -4 going into 35, and it's going to require a -4 again in 36 for me to get Kane in for Vardy. So there may be a way for me to not go super hard on the double in 35, not take a -4.
Just keep -4 in it, man.
I mean, why not? Four. I don't know why I'm so hesitant. But I guess to answer your question, Josh, yeah, Kane coming in 36. And I'm not, yeah, sure, Son Sun, great pick. Bale, I can't wrap my hand around it. Like, Bale has been sent from Spain to destroy my FPL season. Thank you very much. I have no other comments about that. But Son and Kane, very appealing. Just look at the Spurs run in. They starting in 36, Wolves and Villa at home, and they finish with Leicester. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's not Villa in particular has a defense that can be tough to break down, and Spurs have not been their best in terms of just like breaking down really good defenses. So I could see a case where you're just like, you know what? I don't need this. But the fact that there are these blanks in 36, especially the ones that impact my two strikers at Leicester, I just see such an opportunity with Kane there.
Yeah, I mean, same with me. I mean, it's just so logical, right? I mean, it's just like, it's such an easy move to do that. And so, yeah, that's my plan as well. And I think it just makes the most sense. I think if you have Kane already, which you know, his ownership was shockingly high, I have to say, in the top 10K. I thought that more people would have dropped him for Vardy. It felt like that was very in vogue for a minute, but he had 180% effective ownership going into this weekend. I was terrified of that Sheffield United match. I don't know how he blanked. I mean, talk about luck this season. Like, Harry Kane blanking in that match with 180% EO and me not owning him is even luckier than me getting that Watkins goal and two bonus points off the bench. Super, super lucky. I mean, the thing about him is he does, when you know, he gets these ankle injuries every year now, unfortunately. And one of the reasons I dropped him is because it does usually take him a couple of weeks to shake those off, right? Like, he sort of he doesn't quite come back. He's not the same old Harry, Brandon, you know, when he comes back from those injuries. And so, but I'm hoping by 36 he is. I think if you have him already, I wouldn't try anything elaborate. I wouldn't do, I wouldn't take him out and bring him back in. I mean, I think the Leeds match is, I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, first of all, like, Spurs kind of destroyed Leeds the last time they played them. They just scored four goals at home to Sheffield United. Harry Kane was not involved in those goals. Mm-hmm. So I suspect that he is going to be very goal hungry going into this match. And so I think you just stick with Kane, especially because that run-in is so good, and don't waste a transfer. Don't let double game week blindness get in the way. I think that I would just stick with Kane there. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, do you disagree with me there? Would you try to move him in and out?
No. Kane is only good for one more move this season. Either you're bringing him in, or you've got some sort of seismic change to your team that involves getting him out. There's no hokey cokey. I mean, there's an interesting question here from the Dork Lord, who says, with Kane and Iheanacho still locks for most people, what are the third striker options you would consider? And if you're considering either alternatives to those strikers, or you want to know who lines up with them. I mean, I was shouting out Ollie Watkins as I do, but you look at Villa's fixtures after the double in 35, and it's Palace, Spurs, Chelsea. I feel like maybe Watkins' race may be run FPL wise. The things that stand out to me is,
although one of those players is weirdly like at his best against really good teams. So like, who knows, right? Like, it's sort of, I don't know. We drop Watkins, Brandon, and we have to deal with that risk. Yeah. We have to bring that to our God, you know. And
drop Ollie at your own peril.
I don't know what I'm saying.
you really went biblical.
Thank
there.
You. Yeah.
But I think
we don't record on Mondays anymore. I'm suddenly remembering why, because it's it's totally different recording after a full day of work.
Our battery power in our bodies is a little lower. But I think a takeaway from game week 34, and there's a knock on effect to Jesse Lingard, is Mikel Antonio is back. And if you're looking for a differential striker, if you're looking for a potential alternative captain option, they have Everton home. They do not double in game week 35. They have that Everton fixture, but really compelling fixtures for West Ham and the run-in with Brighton, West Brom, and finishing with a home match against Southampton. So Antonio back fit feels like a fun third striker option. And Chris Wood, we already did our Woodcast last week. I don't think we need to reprise that.
Can't do it again.
We just can't. So, you know.
Like,
so that's it. Even though they do have Fulham. Like, yeah, scored again. They have Fulham in 36 or in 35, I meant to say, and they finish with Sheffield United. Chris Wood could be one of those albatrosses that managers have to carry to the finish line here, where you have him now, you've reaped the rewards, but it could be tricky for the run in for him.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Wood, it's like, congrats to everyone who had him. I'm not even going to do it, Brandon. I'm not going to go down the Chris Wood route again and have that conversation. The Antonio thing is, I mean, funny, because Antonio is kind of in that same category where you're just like, bring in Antonio at your own risk, right? Like, he's just sort of always in the verge of another injury. It's so frustrating. And so maybe I'm just going to ride it out with Watkins, you know, just come, you know, leave the party with the girl you brought or whatever, right? Is there an expression, something like that?
At your own peril. Dance with the girl at your own peril, Josh.
Your own peril. All right. So let's do a couple. We actually talked about hit taking already. And so it's a good one here from Emil Seedlick, Brandon. He says, which defender has the best fixtures till the end of the season and is playing in both game week 35 and game week 36? Now, I'm going to make this trickier for you because I am going to eliminate Lucas Digne. Okay. Because you've already talked about him. Yeah. So if you go past Lucas Digne, what is the second defender that has the best fixtures that also plays in 35 and 36?
Well, I mean, the other piece of low hanging fruit has got to be Trent Alexander-Arnold, who has a really appealing double in 35 and then does play away at Old Trafford in 36, but finishes the season with Burnley and Crystal Palace. So there you go. I'm going to pick the most expensive defender on the board. Otherwise, though, Josh, could I talk you in?
You've got a
Could I talk you into the problem with Crystal Palace? Here's the thing, is their defense is it's weirdly rotation prone. It's like Scott Dan, Chiquiote is not even, he's an out of position defender. I think he's actually a midfielder, so that doesn't do you any good. Mitchell and and the Dutch guy. Why am I blanking on him? Van Dutch guy. I can't
remember. Van Aanholt.
Van Aanholt. Rotating.
Van Aanholt.
You look at these Crystal Palace fixtures. Sheffield, a double with Sheffield United and Southampton, followed by Villa, Arsenal, and Liverpool. Not terrible.
No, it's true. It's just there's something about bringing a Crystal Palace player this late in the season that just feels wrong, you know. And Will Zaha apparently has like a possible injury too, and so I feel like as Zaha goes, so goes the team, you know, although I suppose that is useful in a sense because, so Crystal Palace, I mean, the problem is, so I was like, well, maybe like that means you want to have a defender who play Crystal Palace, but the teams that play Palace are Southampton and
Sheffield
United, right? So terrible. That's a big stay away there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. But then if Zaha's off the pitch, does Hodgson then bring in another defender? Like, they don't have any other attacking players. I don't know. I guess, like, the point is, I agree, Crystal Palace is, if we haven't talked about them up to this point, then let's not start now. But I think the other defenders that look appealing, like, on good teams, Leicester and Chelsea, they both blank in 36. So that's an issue there. You could say, hey, you know, Burnley are pretty good for a defense. They have Fulham. They have a single, but they do have Fulham in game week 35, followed by a home match against Leeds, which, you know, Leeds' goals have dried up like nobody's business at this point. And maybe you have to bench your Burnley defender in 37, but you get to play them with pride in game week 38 when they are away to a relegated Sheffield United. So Burnley defense might be flying a little under the radar at the moment.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really... I guess we're just going to be talking more about Chris Wood, Brandon, all season long. Just to end the podcast with 10, 15 minutes of solid Chris Wood talk every time around. All right, let's do one more question here, okay? This is from Timbo. He says, is it time to move on from City players? The Pep roulette, even affecting Diaz, is a worry for the run-in for me. Yeah, good question. I think you and I both resolved. Actually, you got kind of, that was another thing that hurt you this week was all the yeah. City stuff. So you still have two City players. What are your thoughts on City at the moment?
Yeah, this was probably the biggest mistake I made on my wild card, was just kind of punting on the City decision. And I feel like this could have been predicted. This should have been predicted. And you think the league is... I kind of resisted this take that the league was clinched. Champions League is the focus. Even if Diaz...
Yeah,
we're regularly starting, and he'll certainly start more than he doesn't start for the rest of the season. Gundogan on top of that. The problem with Manchester City is you just look at this Palace fixture over the weekend and who returned. It was Aguero, Ferran Torres, and Mendy. These are three players that we would never, ever have in our fantasy team. And the points are just beyond spread out with City right now. And they are not there was a point in time, you know, very not long ago, Josh, where City were spreading the points around, but they were also scoring 4 or 5 goals per match every week. And that's just not happening this season. Yeah. They found a different way to play that is as effective in terms of winning trophies and all that. But it doesn't involve scoring a lot of goals. So I think the way I'm considering City now going into game week 35 is just jettison them all. Lucas Dean will be coming in for Ruben Diaz in 35. And it's weird. Gundogan is my fifth midfielder. And you're almost looking at him like not that's too much to be spending on him. Fifth mid that I won't play. It's almost like, I bet I could get a better midfielder than Gundogan right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I think there are some, that cheap midfielder bracket for the doubles, I actually think there are some possibilities there. And even someone like James Ward-Prowse, I have to say, is one of those, I feel like every double game week, there's one player who costs less than 6 million that becomes one of the highest scoring players that game week. You know, it's always like somebody who, you know, it'd be like, I don't know, like some, you know, N'Golo Kante or something, you know, like somebody will just like randomly get 19 points in the double. And I think that Ward-Prowse, could do that. I mean, you could see him scoring a free kick or a pen at Liverpool and you know, and then doing the same or you know, getting a, you know, a assist on a corner kick or something, you know, home to Crystal Palace. And so I think he's somebody that I think you could consider, you know, in that kind of like cheap Gundo replacement bracket.
Yeah. And cue Yves Bissouma coming in for a 20-pointer against Wolves and being the classic single game week player in a double.
It could be Bissouma. Maybe it's is there anyone in Palace? Like there really is no. I mean, Christian Benteke, I guess, right? Obviously, he's a forward.
I do love Eze. Yeah, Eze in the midfielder. And if Zaha is out,
that's true. That's fair.
Yeah, Eze can, you know, He's still, I feel like Eze has had a decent enough season for what's been asked of him at Palace, but if he has a little room to breathe through the home stretch, I think he's got a lot still that he would like to prove. So
yeah,
that's an interesting, like massive punt, but a fun one.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. Ward-Prowse, Eze, these are interesting. Even Sigurdsson, who you talked about briefly before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that Sigurdsson is interesting. I didn't like the way I didn't think he looked great at the weekend and he got pulled the 70th minute or something like that. That threw me off just a little bit. But I like him as well. I think I actually would have been going for him had it not been for this double announcement. I think as it is, I'm just sort of on that Mason Greenwood. I'm on a Mason Greenwood kick, Brandon, because I mean, what I like about him too is that he can play both positions, right? Like he's been playing as like a false nine, but then you can also just play him on the right. Mm-hmm. And I think either way, he's in such good form that it's hard for me to have to imagine him getting quite a lot of minutes in these next two matches. And so, he just seems like a fun, and he's pretty cheap too. He's only 7 million. So I think my plan right now is to go is to actually drop Sun. No, for like the fifth or sixth time this season, Brandon, I'm going to be dropping Son and bringing in somebody with a double and then also moving Vardy to Kane in game week 36. I think that's where my head is at right now. So Yeah, let's see. And, or, you know, maybe I should just have Son and Kane. Like, wouldn't that be something that's kind of appropriate, right? About just ending the season with Son and Kane, right? Just like seeing it out.
Yeah,
it's, with the boys, yeah, one last time.
It's like the Lord of the Rings, Josh. It's there and back again. The journey home. Homer-esque fantasy exactly, football. That's what we're exactly all about.
All right. Well, that is game week 35. We'll be back on Thursday with our Patreon preview podcast. So we'll have lots more information to share. I assume we'll have confirmed double game week news by then as well. So thank you to everyone for listening, though. And if you, once again, if you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Yeah, Brendan, do you want to do a quick thank you to our producer patrons?
Absolutely. Big thanks to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, to Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kai Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Mikey Uwong, Bruce Kerr, Nicholas Vernadanka, Sam Schauer, Will Husby, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Morjoria, Rom Frosk, and AJ. Don't forget, never miss an episode of Always Cheating by subscribing wherever fine podcasts are found. And you can give us a rating and a review. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. That is my challenge to you. Maybe Patreon is not your bag. If you just want to say a quick thanks, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. That's a big deal for us. Give us a follow anywhere you get social media. We spend most of our time on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. And find all this information and more, Josh, at our website, Actually, now, Josh, when you go online and look for a website, are you still typing in HTTP colon double double forward
colon slash, backslash?
Yeah,
of course. Of course.
I knew that'd be you. So if you do that, do all that mumbo jumbo, and when you get to the point where you have to fill in the actual address, it's alwayscheating.com. I think you can remember that.
All right, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Poku forever.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.